Good morning, and thank you for leading us in the prayer time. Thank you, Asa, for helping us to reminding us to that there's a lot of opportunity to serve right in our own backyard, so to speak. And that's part of what I want to talk about today. It kind of fits in just very well as we look at Jesus Christ being a disciple maker. You know, as a church, it is our desire that we will foster spiritual growth and development in all our people. And that Ephesians chapter 4 and verses 12 and 13 actually are a bit of a, would express that for us, wouldn't it? That God's desire for the church is that as well, to prepare God's people for works of service, so that the body of Christ may be built up until we all reach unity in the faith and in the knowledge of the Son of God and become mature, attaining to the whole measure of the fullness of Christ. You know, back in the early 80s, my brother and I, we had a one-ton with a gooseneck, and we moved a lot of small equipment around. And one day I was sent out to a potash mine to pick up a bobcat. And when I arrived, I found the bobcat exactly where they had said it would be. But there was no one who would load it because it was not their job. Being a unionized job site, there was the fellow that could load it was gone for the day, and nobody else would do it. What to do? Well, I had never been on one of those things. Never driven one, never operated one, but I had watched four of them do square dancing. And so it looked easy. You know, I watched those four on the parking lot. They would come together, their buckets would go together, and they would just barely touch, and it was smooth. And I found it's easy to do a dance, but not smooth. So as I got onto this machine and practiced in the yard there, and my goal was to get it up on the trailer, on the ramps, and all four wheels on the trailer, not beside the trailer. What was interesting is that as I practiced and as I tried to get the hang of these levers and get a bit of a feel for it, the workers would gather around and they watched. Nobody would help, but they enjoyed the show. I did get it onto the trailer, and everything worked out well. Do you know that something quite similar to that can sometimes happen within churches? You see, we have elections coming up, right? You get elected. There's no training. There's very little transition help, but it's your job, and we will watch you do it. We will watch while you practice, and we as you try to make it work. The Bible says that we are to prepare God's people for service. To prepare. Jesus left us a good example of that. He used what we kind of have called, what I would like to call, the disciple-making process to prepare his followers for service. His desire wasn't that we watch as somebody tries to do something. His desire was a very, very deliberate part and process. We just finished recently what we call the La Creek Christian Fellowship report card, right? We did the survey, we tallied the results, and we saw some very exciting strengths. Strengths in worship, strengths in our music program, and small group Bible studies. But there were also some couple of areas that were very obvious that we could improve on. One of those areas was probably the one that scored the lowest would be in our connection with our community and our outreach to our local community. And Pastor Peter Fair will be speaking to that. I will leave that for him. We have moved in that direction, as you as a congregation have encouraged the leadership to make some changes and to try some changes as in the next time future here, to see where we can go and strengthen some of these things. And one of those has been, as you'll notice in your bulletin, a bit of a shift in a job description, and especially for Pastor Peter, in that he will be putting more of his time and emphasis in the area of outreach and evangelism and missions. So I will let him take that one. I would like to take the other one that we also saw a need for improvement, and that is the area of preparing and training people for various ministries, all the ministries of our church. And so I guess as I want to ask the question and hopefully try to answer the question a little bit, and that is that how can any church prepare their people for service? And so if we look in Matthew chapter 28, in verses 18 to 20, we see there that Jesus gave to us a command. Matthew 28, verses 18 to 20, it says that then Jesus came to them and said, "All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Therefore go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you, and surely I am with you always to the very end of the age." You see, Jesus gave us a command, and it starts out by saying to make disciples. Go and make disciples. Okay, we need to note that he said make disciples. Make disciples. It seems that we as a church, as his body, have been given that mandate to make something. Okay, a disciple. So what is a disciple? What is a disciple? A disciple is a learner. A disciple is a pupil. Someone who learns by following. Now, for our day and age, that's something that isn't that normal, that people would actually follow somebody around. But in Jesus' time, that was very much a cultural thing to do. That if you were a disciple, you were a disciple of some rabbi. And that meant that you would follow that rabbi. You would go to his school. You would spend time with that rabbi. You begin to do what that rabbi does. And so that's why disciple, we get that word follower, right? But the word also implies an intellectual process, not just a being in the presence of, but there's a learning, there's an intellectual process that directly affects the lifestyle of the person. It must make a change in your life in order to be a disciple, a follower. In John chapter 15 and verses 7 and 8, Jesus is speaking here, and he says, "If you remain in me, remain. If you remain in me and my words remain in you, ask whatever you wish and it will be given to you. This is to my Father's glory that you bear much fruit, showing yourself to be my disciples." Jesus, in talking to his disciples, to the people around him, saw the need, the impact that a teacher, that a leader would have on his people. That whole aspect of a rabbi and his followers. As he determines this, or as he speaks to this, he says that there's some characteristics. And one of them is that you must spend time. If he remains, Someone is only a disciple if you remain. If you decide that after a week you've had enough of it, and you go home and you no longer show up at this disciple's, this rabbi's place, then you are not considered a disciple of this rabbi. So then the question has to be, the question that we often ask, the question that I don't know that we can answer, want to answer here today, but can you be a Christian and not be a disciple? Can you be a believer but not a disciple? Can you have Jesus as your Savior but not as Lord? You see, it's part of the difficulty and the struggle with those questions is I want the bare minimum. I want the bare minimum. It's like we said in baptismal class this morning, Jesus, God never sent Jesus to save us just as an escape out of hell. That is part of it, and it is an important part of it. God does not want us to be separated from Him. But God doesn't just save us so that we have a fire insurance, a ticket. He saves us because He wants to have a relationship with us, because He wants our life now to be changed, to be full, to be everything He wanted it to be. He doesn't just want you to be a Christian. That's only half the story. He wants you to be a disciple, a follower of Jesus Christ. Someone who's going to consistently walk with Jesus. And you see, the neat thing is that it's not about perfection. You don't have to attain a certain maturity before you can be a follower of Jesus Christ. No, it's not about perfection. It's about progress. It's about walking in the footsteps of your rabbi, of your teacher, of your Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And you begin to walk, you begin to talk, you begin to have some of the mannerisms of the one you are following. You must remain in Him. But Matthew also tells us that we must learn to obey the teachings of Jesus Christ. There's no use in going to becoming a disciple of someone if you have no desire to be a follower of that person. If you have no desire to be like Jesus, then why follow Him? Is it just because you want to go to heaven and not to hell? Well, yes. But you see, that doesn't fulfill the plan that God had and has for you. Obedience, there is no discipling without training, and there's no training without accountability. We practice this in our everyday life, in our jobs, in our sports programs, in just about every facet of life. We know that if we want something, we're going to have to be disciplined in order to train. And with training, there will be accountability and obedience is a part of being a disciple. A disciple bears spiritual fruit. You see, if we are remaining in Christ, if we are obedient to the things that we are learning from God's Word, and a note that we had in class this morning is the fact that if we obey that which we understand of God's Word, that's what is expected. We say, well, I can't understand all of God's Word. Let's not worry even about the parts that we cannot understand about God's Word. Are you obedient to that which you can understand? Is that which you can understand making a difference in your life? The understanding part, that will grow over the years. Your life experiences, your interaction with others, your understanding will expand if you obey that which you already understand. And if that happens, if we are obedient to the things we're learning from God's Word, it is inevitable that you will bear fruit. A healthy apple tree, it's normal inevitable that that apple tree will bear apples. It will have fruit. Why? Because it is healthy. Its root system, everything about it is right. And so it will, and it's the same way in your Christian life. The bearing of the fruit is not something that you strive for and work towards. It's something that happens by itself as you remain in Christ and walk in obedience with Him. And then a disciple brings glory to God. We're always pointing to the one we are following. He is the one. We are a disciple of Jesus Christ, not a disciple of the La Crique Christian Fellowship Church, not a disciple of Pastor Peter, not a disciple of a person, but a disciple of Jesus Christ. It is He that receives the glory. We are just all part of that group that is following Him. But we are not the one. Jesus Christ, God the Father, they are the one whom we are following, and to them be all the glory. Anything that we can do, and this is very key, if we discover and as we begin to prepare and to train for ministry, to work, to do the work and ministry of the church, we don't do it to be noticed. We don't do it because something needs to happen. We do it because we want to bring glory to the one that we are following. The command is to make disciples. So how do we do that? Well, there's probably a lot of things or a number of things that can be there. But by training is one of the first things that comes into mind as we move ahead. Making disciples and baptizing them is the start. But then we move along and we see that He also says that we are to teach them everything. We teach them, teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you. Teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you. Jesus commands, the words He spoke, the teaching He gave. The disciples were listening to Him. The starting point is baptizing them. That's the starting point. But it doesn't end there. It really only begins there. One of the tools that we would like to use here at our church to help us in this process of preparing, of training, is the network course. If you noticed in your bulletins, you will see that the network course is starting in May, May 11th. There's sign-up sheets at the back, both for those that would like to become members, and those just, our desire would be that every one of you would take this course. Because this course helps us, it doesn't do it all, but it helps us to discover who we are and who God made us, who God created us to be. Your life experiences, your personality, your natural abilities, and your spiritual gifts all are incredibly you. They're not the same for anyone else. They're you. We would like to use this to help us to be able to prepare so that we can all be involved in the ministry that God has for us as a church. Bruce Bugbee, one of the authors of Network, he says this. He says that the church needs you. Not because it needs people to fill positions within the organization, but because you are an important and integral part of the body of Christ. You have a significant contribution to make. You have a ministry in the church and a mission in the world. It isn't about filling positions. It isn't about elections coming up and the need for Sunday school teachers or committee members. It goes much deeper than that. It's about the value of you Each of us being who we are, bring a contribution to this church that makes this church, that gives this church its personality, identity, who we are. And we need everyone. God's desire, God's plan is that all believers become disciples. He wants all believers to be disciples, and He wants these disciples to be fruitful, and He wants them to be fulfilled in what they are doing. If you see a puzzle, and if you think of the Lacrete Christian Fellowship as a puzzle, and each of us being a part of that puzzle, then when that puzzle is put together, then we would get a picture of the whole. One of the purposes of network is to take the pieces we already have, and to help us to put them into a framework that helps us to see the picture that God intended for my life, for you life, for your life. To see what God planned for you and the purpose why He brought you to this body of believers. And we want to discover that together with you. Let's look at a number of passages of scriptures. Romans chapter 12. We have Romans 12, 1 Corinthians 12, Ephesians 4, and 1 Peter 4. All of them are scriptures that speak to this question. And you may want to take them and take them home and look at them closer. We're just going to look at a couple of the verses within these chapters. But in Romans chapter 12, verses 4 to 6, Paul, is in writing to them, says that just as each of us has one body with many members, and these members do not all have the same function, so in Christ we who are many form one body, and each member belongs to all the others. We have different gifts according to the grace given us. Paul is emphasizing unity within diversity. We are not to be the same. It is of no help for me to have four hands and no feet. Would be of no advantage to me to have four thumbs or five thumbs and no fingers. It just wouldn't work. God created our body to have, we're one. I don't call this a body and this a body. This is my body, but it has so many different functions. We are a part of the larger body of Christ. And when we gather as a local church, you are members of the body. Feet, hands, mouth, head, hair, we're all a part of it. What is your part? Where do you fit? There's unity in the diversity. 1 Corinthians chapter 12, first of all, verse 7, he says, "Now to each one the manifestation has been given for the common good." Verse 27, "Now you are the body of Christ, and each one of you is a part of it." We notice two things here. We notice the fact that every member of the body of Christ has been given a spiritual gift. Not one of you is left out. When you came and discovered Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, the moment that you got saved was the moment that the Holy Spirit came and lived inside of you. God gave Him as a gift to you. And with the Holy Spirit come spiritual gifts and abilities that go beyond your natural talents. They will be together, they will complement, and they will be connected, so to speak, to your natural talents, yes. Because we are a body. But they will be specially given abilities by the Holy Spirit to work specifically in the building of the kingdom of Jesus Christ. Every member is given a spiritual gift, and this is given as evidence that the Holy Spirit is working in our lives. Spiritual gifts are special abilities given by the Holy Spirit and distributed to every believer according to God's design and grace for the common good of the body of Christ. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 7 says, "But to each one of us," note that every one of these passages will say each one or some form of that. "To each one of us, grace has been given as Christ apportioned it." You don't own those gifts. You don't earn those gifts. You don't practice the gifts to try to get a gift. They are given to you as a gift by God as Christ apportioned it, as He chose, as He desired. He knows you intimately. He created you in your mother's womb. He knows you by name. He knows what He has for you. And so your spiritual gift is connected beautifully to who you are. "To each one of us as Christ apportioned, to prepare God's people for works of service." Why? To build up the body, to bring unity in faith, knowledge of the Son of God, maturity, attaining the full measure of Christ. That's His desire for you. Oh, in verses 10 and 11, He talks about the gifts of the evangelists and preachers and teachers and so on. But those gifts mentioned, it's not that those people were to do all the work. God never intended that there be 10% of the people or 20% or 50%. His desire is that the entire body be involved in the ministry of the church, the ministry of His kingdom, the building of His kingdom. He wants to train the people, that the people be prepared, trained, so that they can do the work themselves. They just don't want to just always ride along. You don't want to be on these orientation days where you have to follow along, where you're being orientated to a new job. You don't want to have that orientation day over and over and over and over and your entire life. You're in orientation. That's not it. That's not what He desires. You have orientation. You are prepared. You are trained. But it does move on. Until, the word "until" in verse 13, it doesn't refer so much to the duration as it does to the goal, the purpose of the preparing and of the training. 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 10. "Each one should use whatever gift he has received to serve others, faithfully administering God's grace in its various forms." Each one. Everyone has received it. What is he to do with it? Serve others. It's not meant for our own edification. It's not meant for our own good. It is to serve others, to be faithful. What are you doing? You're administering. You are pouring out. You are giving God's grace to others. Not giving you more of who I am, but it's giving God's grace to others, faithfully administering God's grace, and He reminds us it's in various forms. Peter and I had a pretty good chuckle this week as we were looking at this network book, and we found a nice page. You know how you page through and then something strikes you? And here was this arrow, and you know, just kind of described the type of person you were and at which end are you at, you know? And we laughed, because we were at opposite ends, you know. So who's right, me or Peter? Well, all I can tell you is that Peter's right. You see, there aren't a right or a wrong. But what is very important is in this small instance, and we will find so many more of them, is that in this body, local body, Pastor Peter Fair has a very important part to play. We need him, his personality, his giftedness, and we need Calvin and we need me. That's the team, pastoral team, that God has put together for right now. But it goes way beyond that. Each one of you fits into. If you just take the three of us, and once we have filled out those things and we know exactly who we are, man, I don't think that day is going to come. But if you were to take that and limit it to that, there wouldn't be much yet. But if you put together all the pieces that each of you has, the puzzle becomes much more colorful, much bigger, and much more useful to God's kingdom. And so as we see this, we see that the preparing of these disciples is important, because the Bible says that there's the purpose for all of this is twofold, and that is to glorify God and to edify others. That's the purpose. That is what we have to work for, and all of us are a part of that goal. But how long do you train? You train for one purpose, and that is deployment. Deployment. Deploy the troops. Get them out there. We've got a war to fight. We have a ministry to do. We have a kingdom to build for our Lord Jesus Christ, the one we are following. We need to get them out there. You know what? We have come full circle. Do you realize that? We go back now to the start of that. See, we were making disciples, then we were training disciples, and now we are deploying disciples for what purpose? To make disciples. We've come full circle. Jesus showed us that example so clearly in his ministry. Jesus took 12 men, that's what he chose out of the 70. At a different point he had 70, and then at some places it says he has many disciples, a crowd of disciples. But you will notice that the disciples, when it came to areas of commitment and involvement and participation, the numbers get fewer. Now that's a tendency that all of us have. It's much easier to just be able to sit in the pews and keep them warm than it is to actually begin to use who you are to minister and work together for the common good of the body of Christ. Jesus called the 12. They watched him. They watched him at the wedding at Cana. They watched him as he healed Peter's mother-in-law of the fever. They watched him, and they watched him. But it didn't end there. It didn't end there. As time went on, he gave them assignments. They began to be very involved in his ministry. Whether it was the feeding of the 5,000, the feeding of the 4,000, and different occasions, you would find him giving them things to do. And then he sent them out. He sent them out two by two to go and to minister. And then in Matthew 28, he deploys them and says, "You're on your own. Listen to this. You're on your own, but I will never leave you or forsake you. I will give you the Holy Spirit to empower you, to resource you, to give you everything. You're on your own, but you have everything you need to do the job I'm sending you to do. I'm going away. I'm not going to be around to take you by the hand and lead you through orientation. I'm not going to be here, but I have a job for you to do while I'm gone. And I will make sure that you have everything you need to do it. You're on your own, and yet you're not. I will never leave you or forsake you." Deployment. You know, as a church, I think it's pretty key that we see this cycle and we recognize this cycle. And that we see it that as a church, we need to be making disciples, right? Baptizing them. Not not just a shifting of the saints, but actually seeing where we have new disciples coming in faster than that thing. But where we have new disciples, new believers, and then we help them to become followers of Jesus Christ. But then what do? We begin to train them to obey the teachings of our Lord Jesus Christ, to obey everything that He commanded. We train them, and then we deploy them. We give them opportunities to serve. We give them opportunities to serve. So let me ask you this question. Do you have a desire to serve? Do you have a desire to be trained? Why do you come? Why did you choose La Creek Christian Fellowship as a church that you wanted to attend? Is it because you're passionate about your faith and that you find this environment of La Creek Christian Fellowship with all of its ministry a place where you can grow in your faith? Is it a place where you desire to be prepared, to be trained, to be able to be involved and to use who you are? Are you comfortable just watching others get involved? I hope not. You know, Bill Hull in Jesus Christ Disciple Maker says this. He says, "There's probably no other more primary matter of negligence in the church today than our failure to follow the Lord's command to develop disciples. Because of this gross neglect, many Christians think of themselves as an audience to be entertained rather than an army ready to march." My prayer, my desire is that you don't come to be entertained, but that you come ready to march, ready to be involved in the ministry that is in a much larger kingdom, the kingdom of Jesus Christ. That you want to be prepared for service. Do you know that you can only be prepared for service or training if you want to be? We can't force you. We can give you opportunity, but unless you desire it, if you have no desire to participate, the body suffers because it's a hand or a finger or it's a part of the body that's not making it. But you yourself suffer more yet because you're not fulfilled in what God designed for you, what God planned for you. You know, it's easy to sit on the sidelines. It's easy to come around the bobcat and to watch while others try to learn how to operate this thing. It's easy from the stands to watch the referees, to watch the players, and to say, "Man, you should be doing this or you should be doing that." You know what? The sweat, the blood, the tears comes on the ice. But guess what? So does the satisfaction of the Stanley Cup being won. We may enjoy it if our team wins, but the team that does win, those players experience it in a different element. We may enjoy it if a church grows, has a lot of good ministry things, We may look forward to the day when Jesus Christ comes. But you know what's going to be sweet? If you're on the ice, giving it your all when Jesus comes and gives to you and to me, to each of us, the Stanley Cup. God's desire and plan is that all believers become disciples who are fruitful and fulfilled in a meaningful place of service. And that's for every one of us. Not a single one of God's children will be left out of that. It's His desire for you. Will you join us in the coming months, in the coming years, in discovering that? Will you join us in participating, preparing, in whatever God has for you? Let's pray. Father, I thank you for your word, and I thank you for the teachings of your word, and I thank you, Lord Jesus, for the example that we find as we see how you walked. And Lord, we hear, we read, we reread your command to us. A command that comes with all the authority of heaven and earth to go, to make disciples, to baptize them, and to teach them all that you have, teach them to obey all that you have given us, all the commands, all the words that you've given us. And Lord, if we can begin to do that successfully, then we can see how that cycle just keeps going and keeps going and keeps going. That's our prayer for us as a congregation. That's just our prayer that would go broader to each of our missionaries, to the Church of Jesus Christ. Lord, bless your church, bless your work. To you be all the honor, the glory, and the praise. Amen.